ordnance exploding in the night sky, and people holding up pictures of hostages, a man holding a child's hand, people praying, devastated buildings, then a candle being lit. The darkest days. Israel. Gaza 6 months on. Lise Doucette, chief international correspondent.
The war started here in the stillness of dawn, in the towns in kibbutzim across southern Israel. Hamas gunmen storming through these fields, shaking this country to its core. October 7th shattered Israel's security, its sense of self, and it sparked what is now the longest, most grievous Gaza war. It lit fires right across this region and shocked the world into caring about this age-old conflict again. In this special program, we'll return to October 7th and the months that followed to see the cost of this war through Israeli and Palestinian eyes.
Photos of young people.
We start here, where a celebration turned into scenes of carnage. This is the site of the Nova Music Festival. And now it's a memorial to more than 370 people killed here by Hamas and other fighters, more than 40 taken hostage. Our first film takes us back to those first fateful hours as Saturday, October the 7th dawned. And a warning, the images and stories are very distressing.
An aerial view of people approaching a multicolored star-shaped awning in an open space flanked by trees. October the 7th, 2023, Nova Festival, 5 a.m. Images of people enjoying a rave en masse and in small groups. That dance floor at the Nature Party is the place that contains the most joy that represents global love. Happy people, smiles everywhere, beautiful people, an atmosphere of unconditional love, of freedom of expression, bliss. 24 hours later, gliding above damaged and burnt out cars of the edge of the near deserted festival site. The empty awning, smaller tents, caravans and people at the venue, then charred debris on the long straight road flanked by abandoned cars leading away from the site. Our home, our souls, our hearts were invaded. Toma Wiener, 25. Black Dawn, testimonies from the Nova Festival massacre. A promotional film for the festival. I knew about this festival in advance. I meant to go alone. Shoval Roberman, 23. I don't know what made me go to the festival. I didn't want to. Toma wanted me to join him. And as we talked, I was thinking out loud and said, you know what? I'm coming. Rachelle Namayas, 23. We come to dance, to relax, to get everything out. Mahala Hana, 27. We have this festival every year. This year's was special because I was living in Portugal in the last year, and then friends told me about this event. A friend picked me up. We were on our way at 2 a.m. and the whole way I kept asking him, why are we approaching Gaza? Why is it so close to the border? And he told me, don't worry, they have security. It's an approved event. There are cops there and everything's okay. Video of veterinary nurse Mahal dancing, then of a man wearing a spotted mushroom hat and dark glasses. Noam Cohen, 19, party photographer. I'll be honest, we did sort of say, wow, it's so close to the fence. But there are towns there, people live there. I feel safe in my country, you know. I said, what could happen? A DJ at a mixing desk. Mihal says, it was crazy, it was fun. We hugged all of us. We really celebrated life. A crowd pogoing and punching the air under the awning led by another DJ at the mixing desk. Jewelry maker Toma. A good friend of mine came to my stand and said that he wasn't feeling well and he needed my help. We sat there with him, and as we were holding his hand, we suddenly heard booms. A man and a woman approach the DJ. The man whispers in the DJ's ear, and he immediately turns off the music. Over the site PA system. Lay on the ground, hands on your head. Mihal says the music stopped and they announced that there were interceptions. We saw them above our heads. Look, interceptions. For real, they're launching rockets during the party. Shaval says, we said fine, we know this. We live in a country where this can happen. A few minutes and it passes. Rochelle says, I sent a message to my mum. There's a red alert. There's a missile attack. Don't worry, we're in a safe shelter. We're fine. Michelle says, about 2 minutes later, a security guard told everyone to leave the area. One, two. People, please leave. The event is concluded. Carefully and quickly leave the area. Are you morons? Who sets a party next to Gaza? A party next to Gaza? Whose idea was that? A guard shouts, there's no shelter here. Go. What do you mean no shelter? Whoa, we don't want to die right now. Why now? From an Israeli news report, at sunrise, Hamas launched a surprise attack against Israel. While launching rockets at Israeli towns, hundreds of terrorists from the Strip invaded Israel via land, sea and air. In Hamas footage, men are shouting, Allah is great. A man with an automatic rifle is riding pillion on a motorcycle. Noam says, a lot of people decided to stay and see if the party would resume. I realized it wouldn't go on. Relax, it's over, let's go. Rochelle, we loaded up the car. I called friends to make sure everyone was all right. Texted the address of the rendezvous point in Tel Aviv, a friend's apartment, to wind down from all the rockets and then to go on home. We get to the main road, turn right. We're stuck on the road, lots of cars, nobody can move. Imagine 4,000 people get into their cars and start driving. It was a crazy traffic jam. At some point, I looked to the side and saw many armed people running towards us. He has blood all over his head, I swear. He's bleeding. After 5 minutes on the road, 1 or 2 kilometers away, my friend points, and we see armed people jump out of the bushes and start blasting our car. Oh God, terrorist attack. Drive, get out of here. Drive, drive. Through the car, my friend gets hit. The bullet goes right through the car. He starts bleeding and I don't believe it. I step on the gas. Come on, drive, get out of here. They're firing at us, I swear to God. People crouch behind a car. Get down, get over here, get over here. That's it, stay here. Get down, you idiot. Allah is great. Run away, run away. Save the bullets. So we abandoned our car with all our stuff in it, and we started running. Student Gali Amar, on the festival grounds, chaos. People look lost. People hide in a skip. Quiet guys. People are hiding everywhere. Gali, 23, says, I wanted to bury myself, to get deep into the ground, like I didn't exist anymore. Amita Mar, 23. Then I saw the portable restrooms. An armed man crosses the site. Run, run. People flee across the field. Cheval says, we heard screams coming in our direction. Mehal says, bullets flew past my ears. I didn't know whether to go down or jump because people were falling all around me. Student Amit says, we turned around and looked back. We saw terrorists coming from the hill. We entered the portable restroom, closed the door, and we heard everything. Gali says, the stall smelled bad. We couldn't breathe or move. Hamas footage of men firing into the row of portable toilets. They fired at head level and we lay on the floor. Nothing mattered, we just prayed as hard as we could that they didn't open the stall, that they wouldn't open this one and pull us out. The venue on a road map, then video of Toma amongst the trees. After we saw a group of people hiding in a bush, we went on a bit and hid in a smaller bush. And we heard a burst of machine gun fire, and lots of it. Shadows breaking the daylight under the door of Amit and Gali's stall. They hid behind our bathroom stall. I saw not only their shadows, but also the shadows of their guns. We heard someone shouting in Hebrew, and for a moment, we thought maybe it's our time to get out. We couldn't. No courage, and we heard the doors next to us open and close, followed by a series of gunshots, and then it changed quickly to Arabic. I closed my eyes and prayed, please no, please no. Amit looks across at Gali as she becomes tearful. Sergeant Major Hanania Benjamin, community officer. I heard reports about clashes, about terrorists in military uniform, some on motorcycles, some in pickup trucks. I heard the reports on the radio, the police radio. To my right side, I see at least three terrorists in army uniforms and another one on the hill. Duck down. Non-stop shooting. I didn't know if it was directed at me. I thought maybe I can find some forces to back me up. None of us knew about a festival. Men with rocket launchers. A pickup truck came in and terrorists got out and started firing at us. So we started running into the fields. No, where's everyone running to? No, there are terrorists over there. By chance, I saw a tank with some of our people. I recognized them from the party, and a cop and some soldiers. I ran there quickly. A selfie video of Mihal at the tank. They told us to crawl under the tank. I lay under there with another 20 people. People scramble for cover. A grenade was thrown at us. I lost my hearing because of the explosion. I couldn't hear what they were saying, so they used hand gestures. We kept going in circles because they surrounded us. I was shot in the leg and shrapnel hit my stomach and I couldn't move anymore. I saw terrorists advancing towards us. Amit and Gali's hiding place shakes. Amit, then Gali. The stall became our safe space in the last 9 hours. Exactly. In these portable stalls, there is a very small hole under the door. And when I peeked from under the door, smoke was everywhere. Everything was black. The battles, they were still going on. Every moment it became worse and worse. When we called and sent our location to the police in the morning, they knew where we were. Sergeant Major Benjamin, our military armored vehicles arrived. We took the injured first, everyone we could. We got into the vehicle and we escorted them out. Luckily, I was injured and they got me in. They drove us to a hospital where I got treated. Rochelle's told, "Get your head down," as she's driven away. We're passing Kibbutz Be'eri. The gate was opened, and there are scattered cars with open doors and booths. We wanted to go there to find a shelter. It felt unsafe, so we continued driving. Missiles, smoke trails in the sky. Gunfire started. It sounded super close, but I didn't see them, so I didn't know they were there. We went into the shelter because there was a red alert. The road map. Because it was in the south and there are rockets, they have concrete shelters next to every bus station so people can hide when there's a siren. I was one of the first ones in, so I wasn't near the entrance. I was deep inside with lots of people squeezed up against me. The shelter is supposed to hold 10 people and 30 people were squeezed in. People call their parents to say goodbye. People call the military and get hung up on. Call the police, no answer, or are told, figure it out. You're in a war zone. Isabella, come here. Minutes after entering the shelter, we hear a huge explosion. Men outside. The shelter across from us, where my friends were. Terrorists threw two grenades into it. They just tossed grenades into it. People exploded there in the air. Badly wounded people crying for help. Noam says, I lay on the floor and crawled under dead people. I had to cover myself with dead bodies to survive the grenade and the gunfire. A terrorist got inside and started firing and shouting, Allah is great. Allah is great. Rochelle's tearful. We just waited for them to come. We didn't speculate, we just waited. We heard them coming. We had all the scenarios ready and what to say and do if we're kidnapped. Someone shouts, they're killing us, as a masked man throws a grenade into a shelter. I was debating whether or not to send a message to my mum. I didn't. Each time a grenade goes off, you tell yourself, the next one will get me. The grenade in the shelter goes off. I had three bullets in my leg, and lots of shrapnel hit my thighs. You smell feces, urine, stomach acid. You smell vomit mixed with blood and gunpowder. I got lucky, because maybe they thought everyone was dead, because I lay on the ground and didn't move. They shot everyone and went on their way. Hamas fighters taking prisoners. Yes, bring it. Load him on. Help him carry. Load him on. No, no, she's a war slave. They'll take her. Leave her. She's a war slave. Put her back. Put her back. Bring him. Carry him. Aviation engineer Rochelle says, I don't know why they skipped our shelter. We were across the street. I wanted to go back to my mum. Confused images of legs and feet. How come there's no army? How come there's no army? It's taking too long. Shaval says, at some point we hear people simply saying goodbye. We heard people saying how much they love each other. At least we're here together. Selfies with Toma in happier circumstances. The only thing that helped me stay calm was to look into Shaval's eyes and tell her that everything's okay and we'll overcome this. A view from a car of another in a field. Is this car from the festival? Yes. Where was it? There. It's where the smoke is coming from. The fire. Some are scared, hiding. One of our group calls someone to rescue her. He arrives. She and I are running to him. I'm trying to convince him to take as many people as possible into the vehicle. He agrees. I saw a civilian vehicle passing. I raised my hands up to show that I'm not a terrorist. I said, "It's a terror attack," and I jumped into the car. Soldiers in khaki arrive. Ghali says, "From the moment the IDF entered, we heard a gun battle happening, and then there was silence. They started rescuing people. Then we thought, okay, we're next. And it didn't happen." Then after 2 minutes of silence, another wave of terrorists arrives, even bigger. And again, we heard them shouting in Arabic. And again, the massacre begins. It was a cycle that repeated itself for many hours. Sergeant Major Benjamin's car behind an ambulance, he says, "I saw abandoned cars, many to the right, many to the left. All across the area, cars were engulfed in flames. Dozens of burnt-out cars. And when I proceeded, I saw that the way was blocked. Drive, drive." And inside the cars, next to the cars, dead bodies of young people, girls and boys. I saw a massacre. I was in a massacre zone. Body cam images of the officer's shadow cast on the arid ground as he explores the festival site with sidearm drawn. "Injured. I have casualties. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 dead. Anybody? Any signs of life?" He discovers some bodies. "No sign of life. She's dead. She's dead. She's dead. Someone, please. Amit says, and then we heard footsteps. Something was getting closer to us, and we heard them say, "Open the stall, check them. See if there's someone in there." And they opened our stall, pointed the guns at us, and they said, "Everything's okay. You can come out." The two students are driven away in a car by personnel in khaki fatigues. And we passed through a battlefield, basically. "Don't look. Don't look." And they asked us not to look. You couldn't look away. Veterinary nurse Michal says, "It was only at the hospital that I started receiving videos of my friends who were abducted, murdered, and other horrors that were done to them. And my female friends who were tortured. Horrible stuff." Noam is at home, having fresh plasters and lotion applied to his leg wounds. When I got home, and all the family was hysterical, I couldn't comprehend that I got out of it. He walks with the aid of crutches. For a few days, I didn't feel alive. I felt dead in a living body. Mahal's playing fetch with a dog in a backyard. I couldn't comprehend. They all said, "What a miracle." And I thought to myself, "What miracle? How is it a miracle? People died." Rochelle tells her child, "Wow, that's a cool mask. Even if you get out of there okay physically, emotionally, something there will never heal." Noam says, "When it's nighttime, before I fall asleep, suddenly I see myself there. I look to my right. I see the girl that was murdered, her corpse. I look to the left. I see the guy with the missing leg. I look straight, and I see someone shouting, "Run! Run!" Scully says, there are things I know that happened. The eye can see, but it fails to bring it back to the brain. Amit says, we walk each other through what happened, so we went through the same thing. We find comfort in each other. I know she understands me better. She understands me. Every time they notify me of a friend who was identified as dead, or of a friend who was identified as taken hostage, I think of all my circles, close and far. My circles of friends were there. They didn't have the luck that we had. Thomas praying and wearing a handgun on his belt. Shema Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Shaval says, all the fear that we were holding back then just came out. I felt paralyzed, felt my whole body paralyzed. And Toma looked at me, the same look he gave me back when we were in the bush. And I couldn't look him in the eyes. It took me back to that moment when I looked him in the eyes, hiding in the bush. He simply looked me in the eyes and I broke down in tears and couldn't stop. He embraces her tightly and tells her, I love you. More than 370 festival goers were murdered at the Nova Festival massacre. We didn't understand the magnitude. We thought that we were the target, and we realized it's far from that, that we were the cherry on top. On the way. The map of the road, which runs parallel to the Gaza border. On October the 7th, 2023, Hamas militants attacked more than 20 Israeli towns and kibbutzim. More than 1,200 people were killed that day. Michal's been recovering in a treatment facility. Richelli's living in a kibbutz in the north of Israel that is now under Hezbollah rocket attack. Noam recorded a rap song about his experience. Toma is training to become a therapist. Shaval has returned to work as a kindergarten teacher. Gali has resumed her studies. Amit is working, but finding it difficult to adjust to life after the massacre.
That pain is still raw, still deep. These atrocities will remain seared in memory, in history. The largest loss of Israeli life in a single day. Israel vowed to destroy those who brought this terror here. Gaza is so close. You can see it on the horizon. And what happened there since that day is also beyond compare. Large parts of the coastal strip have been razed to the ground. And more than 32,000 people so far have been killed, according to the Hamas-run health ministry. Gaza is besieged. The UN says most people are starving. Our next report is through the eyes of paramedics with the Palestinian Red Cross and Red Crescent Society. It's another distressing eyewitness account from the first weeks of the war.
An ambulance racing through city streets at night. Two paramedics race to rescue an injured man from the remains of a van. As the war in Gaza began, local journalist Ferez Al-Ashrami documented the lives of paramedics from the Palestinian Red Crescent. These medics are part of the International Red Cross and Red Crescent Society, a global humanitarian network guided by the Geneva Conventions. This film follows the medics as they go about their work rescuing Palestinians in northern Gaza. A medic consoles another who cries, he's unrecognizable. A balding man in a face mask, then another with folded arms and an intense stare. The inside of an ambulance. Paramedics cover their ears in fear as their vehicle rocks and shakes. Gaza 101, emergency rescue. A dark-haired medic with a short beard takes a radio call in a dispatch room. Where did you receive the cases from 5-7? I came out of the centre. I found the young boy on the road. Thanks, guys. God bless you. I'm glad you're all safe. My name is Basil El-Tulay. I'm a volunteer with the Palestinian Red Crescent Society in the north of Gaza. I worked through the wars in 2012 and 2014 and throughout all the escalations that followed. Never have we been through such heavy bombardment or seen such horrors as those we're dealing with now. Babies, their bodies blown apart. If the guys weren't blessed by God with patience to endure what they've witnessed, I don't think they would be able to work as paramedics again. A medic is leading prayers on a mat.
Allahu Akbar.
Now, he's making a call. Did Hamad bring you bread and cheese? Is Mamen awake or asleep? What's he doing? All right, look after the children. Let them sleep now if they can. One can't sleep at night with all the bombing and the shelling. God bless us. Are you all okay? I'm here at my base at Al Auda Hospital. If something happens, we'll be on the move. If Hussein opens, get me a pack of cigarettes, okay? Do you need anything? Bye. He shoos away a scrawny kitten creeping onto his colourful prayer mat. My name is Mohammed Makawi. I've been a volunteer with the Palestinian Red Crescent Society for 10 years. In 5 days, I'm going to turn 44. This war is one of the toughest, because in the first 3 days, the number killed and the level of destruction was equal to the previous 4 or 5 wars put together. As 2 crews head out on a call, Mohammed gets details over the radio. What? Is someone wounded? Come, come. Wearing a hard hat, the white tunic and red trousers of the Red Crescent, Mohammed alights from the ambulance cab, hurries over to 2 men, unloading a figure wrapped in a blanket from the back of a pickup truck. Mohammed takes the casualty to his own ambulance, while the crew of the other deploy a trolley. The tail of Mohammed's ambulance closes. Now its driver is changing gear as the ambulance races through the streets. He pulls up sharply outside the hospital and the patient is taken from the back on a trolley. Get out. Cover her up. Quickly. The patients hurriedly wheeled inside. Guys, go straight to the ICU. She has multiple injuries, a wound on her thigh, about 6 centimeters deep. She has a similar injury on her hand and her eye. She's lifted onto a treatment bed. We took a critical case from an area that was hit to the intensive care unit. She's being treated now here at Al Auda Hospital. After each incident, we register as much information as we can, the name and age of each case, so that we have our own records. So we can tell by the end of each day, or within 24 hours, how many have been wounded or killed and transferred by ambulances operating in the north. He enters the details on a form. Palestinian Red Crescent data helps to update the official death toll. A building is hit by a rocket and immediately collapses. An ambulance crew races to the scene. Now our body is being removed from the rubble on a stretcher by paramedics. Members of the public mill around the dusty debris of the building. Now the ambulance driven by Ala al-Halabi is speeding through the streets with the patient. Nothing will stop us from continuing our humanitarian work. Our remit is clear as Red Crescent paramedics. We abide by our values and the essence of humanity. We just received a call that civilians were targeted at Bir al-Naja. All day long they've been targeting civilians. We've been getting nothing but women and children. He pulls up and says, "Bring the stretcher, guys. Come on." We have five killed here. How many? Five killed. Five killed. Ala hurries over to the scene and asks the small crowd, "What are their names?" "Come on, come on. Children, 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 children. Let's carry them." Ala and three men from the small crowd carry the children's bodies wrapped in a white shroud. He says, "Omar, carry from the middle there." Omar says, "Film this." Ala agrees, "Yes, let him film, let him film. I'll show him their faces. Children, burnt children." Every house we've been to today was full of children like these. These shrouds were sent by Arab countries to Gaza. Your message has been received. Put him on top of the bag. Lift, lift, lift. That's three killed. Children, as you can see, children. Go around to the back. Go to the back door. Ala closes the side door to the ambulance before walking around to the front and climbing into the driver's seat. He pulls away from the scene while listening to details over the radio. Every now and then, we have to speak to our children or we go and see them. They cry when we go to work. Every minute we pray to God to protect them and to return us to them safely. Allah's ambulance drives past a large crowd praying over a body lying on the ground and covered by another white shroud. As we handle the children, the first thing that comes to our mind when you hold a child's body parts in your hands, you remember holding your own child. And that makes us... let's go, quick. Allah asks, "What is it?" He then holds out his microphone and says, "Here, take this." An explosion briefly illuminates the city of Gaza at night in a giant bloom of violent flames. On the 18th of October, an Israeli airstrike hit the neighborhood of Jabalia. Many of the injured were children. An ambulance pulls up outside a hospital. A man hurries out from inside and shouts, "Come, come." He passes an infant child to a volunteer aid worker. More young and infant children are rushed out of the ambulance and into the hospital. Dr. Ahmed Mena is holding a crying baby.
The cry, Aylan cry. Newborn baby under attack. Under attack of bombs.
Another young child is lying on a hospital bed with her head bandaged and nose bleeding. A teenage boy says, "This is Zaina. Zaina Khalid Abu Amira. I forgot the name of the other girl." A man adds, "She's also Khalid's daughter." A doctor carries the infant girl away. Outside, Mohammed sees more injured children carried into the hospital. Elsewhere outside, a man sharing a hospital bed with his young daughter in an emergency triage section. He looks on the verge of tears while his daughter stares into space with a blank expression. She has a cut by the side of her right eye. The man now rests his hand on top of his daughter's head as he continues to fight back tears. A woman sitting up on the bed next to him holds her left leg while she sobs. It's now daytime, and Mohammed and his colleague are cleaning down a bed. He says, "Wipe here this blood." Later, Mohammed says, "We've seen too many horrors. We're tired. I swear we'll need help with our mental health for a year. Even a whole year won't be enough for us paramedics. All the horrors and suffering we've been through. This is wrong. It's not right. We want the war to end, just to end. We want peace. We want to live in peace. Enough destruction. Enough." Israel dropped 6,000 bombs on Gaza in the first 6 days of the war. This number was provided by the Israel Defense Forces. A huge cloud of smoke rolls up into the sky. A man stands at the edge of a blown open building on an upper floor. He looks down at crowds and rubble beneath him. Mangled car wreckage smokes. Allah says, "The missiles burn people's bodies." The scenes, it's impossible to describe how we feel about the things we've seen. The occupation is directly targeting civilians. Children, women, girls, elderly people, they're being directly targeted. Allah is driving his ambulance. They destroy people's homes while they're inside, without any remorse, without any humanity. The Israel Defense Forces, IDF, say they're targeting Hamas and not deliberately targeting civilians. 5-5, my cousins called me. They brought one of my cousins out from under the rubble. I'm going to take his body to the Indonesian hospital. It seems to be a massive strike, 5-7, no? Yes, 5-5. They targeted my uncle's house the day before yesterday. 20 were killed. Some of them are still under the rubble. Now they've brought out one of my cousins. We'll go to get him. Having parked his ambulance, Salah walks along an alleyway, then arrives at a crowd. Allah, there's a girl. It's either half or all of her body. We're trying to pull her out. Whose daughter is she? Mohammed's daughter. This is Mahmoud. Yes, they're still trying to pull the girl out. Allah now watches, wearing a blue paper face mask over his mouth and nose. Allah says, "Put Iyad, the girl's parts are over there. Put them with him." A huge explosion lights up the city skyline at night. A blurred out figure is carried to an ambulance as men film on their phones. A man weeps, covering his face with his hands. An ambulance worker, Rami Kamis, gestures to the obscured person lying on the stretcher inside. Rescue workers pick up another stretcher nearby and bring a covered body to the ambulance. The stretcher is slid into the back. Rami begins closing the rear doors, then later sits at the wheel, weeping. A third covered body is brought under a white shroud. The red flashing lights on a parked ambulance roof flash, then are switched off. The sky is becoming bluer with dawn light. Rami says, "Guys, where's the prayer mat?" Now he and four others stand at one end of two mats as they begin praying. Many of the paramedics' families have fled the north and are sheltering in the south of Gaza. Rami Kamis. My family is in an area called Khan Yunis, south of Gaza, and I'm in the north. We're a long way apart. Every time there's an escalation, my daughters hold on to me and say, "No, Dad, don't go, you'll be wounded again. We don't want to lose you. You're everything to us." That's the Abraj. Film it, keep filming. They just shelled the Abraj. The Abraj is gone. Oh my God. A cloud of dark grey smoke rises from a building on the horizon. Now three ambulances are parked on a sunny, dusty street. Behind them rests the mangled remains of a destroyed one a few meters away. Paramedics carry a blurred out body from the roadside on a shroud, each man holding one corner. The hardest day we experienced since the beginning of the aggression was when we received news of our colleagues being killed. Calm down, he's in heaven. He has no features left. The date was 11th of October at almost 1400. We received a call about a target in the Abraj al-Nada area, and we were informed there were casualties. Two bodies on the ground under white shrouds. Ambulance number 515 headed there with Officer Yosri Al-Masri, volunteer paramedic Ahmed Daman, and volunteer paramedic Khalil Al-Sharif. Photos of the three men smiling. Bodies covered in white shrouds are now being carried quickly by a crowd at shoulder height through a street. People have now gathered around a body covered on the ground. A young paramedic wipes his brow on his short sleeve, looking weary, then shakes his head. The claim we intentionally target the Red Crescent or medical workers is baseless and untrue. Israel Defense Forces. 3 weeks prior to the war, the paramedics are struggling to cope with the number of casualties. An explosion erupts amongst buildings, and an ambulance races through streets and speeds past litter all over a street corner. A paramedic runs with a green stretcher, then a dust-covered body is retrieved from a ruined room with bare concrete walls. Now covered in a red and yellow shroud, the body is loaded into the back of an ambulance. Riding in the back of an ambulance with a paramedic at night, a dust-covered boy with his head bandaged has his face wiped. Another boy asks a paramedic, "Is that my mother?" On 27th of October, Israel cut off all communications and fuel supplies, leaving Gaza in complete darkness. In a speeding ambulance at night. Today, there have been no calls on the ambulance service number 101 because there are no communications at all, which put civilian lives in grave danger. And hinders our ability to reach those in need. The team returns to base and waits for further instructions. A light comes on in a large, cluttered office. "Come on, guys, hurry up." Two paramedics run quickly from the building and between temporary structures in a large seating area with blue plastic chairs. Bright explosions flash briefly on the distant horizon. A dazed paramedic is helped from an ambulance on a debris-strewn street, then taken to another ambulance. The vehicle drives away with its lights flashing. There's a child. A man comes running along the nighttime street with the child in his arms. Rami speaks into a radio handset at the clinic. "I'm here, my love. I'm with you, my children. How are you? We are safe, thank God. We're just missing you so much. Talk to Dad. Where's Lana? Speak to Dad. Don't you want to speak to him? The small girl is upset and shakes her head. Ramesh, she's sleeping. Another girl says, I'm a seal. Hi, a seal. How are you, my darling? I'm missing you. God willing, I will come to see you all soon. God willing, look after yourself, says little a seal. Rami says, thank you very much, Abu Subi. He puts his radio handset on the desk he's leaning on, then rubs his eyes and covers his face as a colleague pats his shoulder. As Rami sobs quietly, a younger man in a black top is sitting next to him at the desk, rubbing his eyes with a handkerchief. On 30th of October, Israel begins its ground offensive into northern Gaza. Artillery is fired and a building explodes and collapses. IDF heat vision video shows an explosion from directly above. The attacks come closer to the Palestinian Red Crescent's location near Al Auda Hospital. Jerky and chaotic phone footage from inside an ambulance shows a man with his hands over his ears. The phone's view looks out through a window at a red emergency light flashing in dust-filled air. Get inside the hospital. Blackness, then a rubble-strewn ambulance with some windows smashed, lights still flashing. Ramaz Al-Ajrami says, we were waiting for a call to dispatch to the targeted area. But as we sat here, a house next to Al Auda Hospital was targeted. It led to massive destruction, as you can see, of Al Auda Hospital and the Red Crescent's vehicles, as well as the hospital's vehicles. Voice of Faraz Al-Ashrami. We were inside this ambulance and the place was targeted. This street was heavily hit by a barrage of airstrikes. And thank God, thank God, thank God. On 22nd of December, the medics were forced to suspend their work in northern Gaza. Three destroyed red and white ambulances lie under debris in the sun, one on its side. They say their base was attacked by the Israel Defense Forces. The IDF deny attacking the clinic and say they arrested Hamas operatives at the location. Allah continues his work with the Palestinian Red Crescent, PRCS, in Rafah. Rami is still operating with the PRCS in Deir al-Bala. Mohammed continues his work at a clinic in the northern region of Gaza. 364 health workers have now been killed, according to a UN OCHA report published on the 6th of March, quoting the Hamas-run Gaza Health Ministry. Faraz Al-Ashrami has been evacuated from Gaza with his family and is now in Qatar. Lise Doucette.
Life and death in Gaza. Israel is now accused of war crimes, even genocide. It's even coming under criticism now from its staunchest of allies about the way it's fighting this war. It denies the charges, blaming Hamas for starting this war, for putting Gazan civilians at risk, for war crimes of its own. The anger here has never been so sharp, leading many to ask, how will Israelis and Palestinians ever find a way out?
Busy, modern streets.
On Israeli streets here in the heart of Tel Aviv, the old rhythms of life have slowly returned, but it's not the same. Everywhere you look, there are the posters, the photographs of hostages, and so many more Israeli flags. Israelis say this is a different country now, that October the 7th changed everything. And so many are united in backing this war until Israel declares victory. But they're not united on every issue.
I'm not sure anymore that Palestinians and Israel can live together in the near future. If so, it will take a very long time and will demand a lot from both sides.
I believe that people want to live in peace. And I think that the terrorists are the only one who likes to go and fight. But people in Gaza and people in Israel want peace.
The protests grow louder. Even before this war, these streets filled with anger against Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Now they're demanding he do more to bring hostages home. And demand he step down. They blame him for the massive security failure of October 7. The Prime Minister insists this war will bring hostages back, bring security, break Hamas. To end the violence, Israel must end its decades-long occupation. That's what most Palestinians say. This is the occupied West Bank, the Palestinian territory about 60 miles from Gaza. They feel Gaza's pain, and their own hard lives are even harder now. Israel has tightened the restrictions and targeted people, it says, are terrorists. Palestinians say hundreds of innocent people are being killed in the West Bank too.
We have just gotten used to so many deaths, so many wars over the years. You just eventually get numb to it. Like every day I hear some people are dying. At first it used to get to me, but now it's just more like, it's something that I hear in passing, and that is honestly devastating when you have to think about it.
I think everyone sees from their own point of view, and they will never see from the other side. I mean, we can never see from the Israeli side of, like, point of view, and they can never see from ours. So, I mean, even to just settle it, it's not even possible, I don't think.
In the very first weeks of this war, Israel's best friends, the US and its allies, suddenly started paying attention, not just ending this war, but this forever conflict. Believing that it is in these darkest of times that you can make a push for peace. A Palestinian state alongside Israel. A new Palestinian leadership. A new relationship between Israel and Arab countries, even Saudi Arabia. A grand bargain to remake the Middle East. Others say it's not the time. That the kind of trauma so graphically portrayed in those two films could take generations to heal. And so for now, Israeli leaders say October 7th demands that they focus on Israeli security, not peace.